Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Verses 14 to 16, pure devotional service. The Lord already described bhakti mixed with karma, arto jigyasu artarti, 7:16, and bhakti mixed with desire for liberation, jara marana mokshaya, 7:29, and bhakti mixed with yoga, 8:9 to 13. Now the Lord speaks of Kevala Bhakti, the highest bhakti which is devoid of any material tinge. Because of constant engagement in devotional service, Krishna is easily obtained by a devotee who always remembers him without deviation. The pure devotee's only desire is to please Krishna. Therefore, his mind is exclusively fixed on Krishna, and he wards off all desires and thoughts not related to unflinching devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Smartavya satatam vishnur, vismartavyo na jatu chit. He does not have any selfish desires, and as a result, he enjoys perfect peace. Mixed devotional service is adulterated by karma and jnana, and is often impeded by unfavorable circumstances. But there is never any impediment to pure devotional service, characterized by constant chanting, hearing, and remembrance of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada explains in renunciation through wisdom. In Bhagavad Gita 9:14, the two words, ananya chaitaha, without deviation, and nitya yukta, regularly, are very significant. One cannot become undeviating in devotional practice without being fixed in undeviating faith. When a person regularly serves the Supreme Lord with this faith, he automatically loses all desires for fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, worship of the demigods, and ritualistic pious activities. And he becomes undeviating in his devotional service. The word satatam always must be understood to imply that devotional service is independent of time, place, and circumstance, adversity, and so on. Everyone, regardless of race, caste, sex, or other material designation, can give up mental speculation, fruitive activities and yoga practice, and take complete shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet without deviation. The word nitya means daily or regularly or constantly. Those who meditate constantly on Lord Krishna's lotus feet can easily obtain him. So now we're bringing out this element that devotional service is not actually affected by the material environment. So you have to hear as we're taking the particular material environment that we have and we're connecting it to the Lord. But now we're seeing that this is no longer actually a problem, because we're looking at it that something that the material circumstance is favorable, so that is good. The material circumstance is not favorable, so that's not good. So now what's being brought out is, the point is remembrance of Krishna being the essential element. Right? Means we're remembering him, so therefore we're glorifying him. So therefore hearing, chanting, and remembering. So it's going to start from hearing. So we're hearing. We get that faith. That faith is there, then we'll be fixed, we'll be focused. So So it's not actually disturbed by the situation. Right? Other things are. Karma, unless the situation is proper, you can't perform the activity. Right? Jnana, you have to have a situation in which you can contemplate. You can think. If too much is going on, you can't do that. All right? But the point is, and yoga, then you definitely need, you know, certain situations and everything to be able to perform it. But here then is being said is that pure devotional service goes beyond all that. Because at any time, no matter whether it's favorable or not, you can remember the Lord. You can chant the Lord's holy name. Right? So the others are good, they're important, but now we're starting to see their weakness. In other words, to bring one up to this platform, they're very useful. But they are not an end in themselves. They're only a way to get to this platform. So now at this point we start seeing is now the term mixed is considered, it's seen in a not, you know, best light. Right? Before we were saying that these elements that are mixed, and you know, they have their glory, and that their activity is connected to Krishna, the intelligence, the mind, everything is connected. So body, mind, and words are connected. So it's very good. Right? But now we're seeing is that element is we're going beyond that. So that was good as a beginning. Right? Now it's a matter of now one can focus actually on the essential, which is the Lord. Because that's where the relationship is. The other we're seeing how the Lord's in everything, how he's involved, how he's connected. That's very nice. But the point is why is he connected? Why is he involved? Right? He's there because of his relationship with us. So that's why he's making these arrangements. So are we going to recognize that and reciprocate that? Right? So that faith is there, then one can focus on these things. Right? The faith is not there, then one will have distraction. If you really think that something from the material energy is going to make you happy, that means that faith is in that. It can make you happy. But if one has that faith that nothing except Krishna can make you happy, then one will be fixed in one's devotion. Right? Because we actually have faith in other things, therefore we get distracted. Right? Otherwise, why would you get distracted if it's not important? It doesn't mean it's not a distraction, but it doesn't mean you become distracted. Right? Material world means distraction. Right? In the first canto, then in prayers of Queen Kunti, right, then Prabhupada's, you know, in the purports, Prabhupada's making the point, you know, going on what she's saying, is that material world is just always trouble. It's always the distraction. So this idea that everything's going to be nice and wonderful and perfect, that's illusion. It will never be. It can't be. It's just trouble. That's all it is. Trouble from beginning to end. Right? But what's good is connection to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So now, if the material world is just trouble, then you do something, let's say, according to scripture, that's pious and good, and it gives you a better situation within the material environment. We'll consider that very good. Right? So here, there's a little break in the badness of the world. It's a little nicer. But why does it work? Right? Karma doesn't work separately. Gyan doesn't work separately. Their basis of actually working is the devotional element. Right? There isn't something Krishna is doing. He's interacting with his internal potency. Right? He's being served by his energies. So the devotional element's going on. We're in illusion that this is what's going on. So therefore that's called Maya. Right? So now if something like this, just connecting it to Krishna, through proper ritual and all this, makes it so much nicer. But it's not directly connected to Krishna, it's indirectly. And it already improves the quality of the experience. So how much will it improve if it's directly connected to Krishna? Understand? So if that faith is there, then nothing is an obstacle. Right? Nothing is unfavorable. Because the material world's already unfavorable on its own. Right? Bad circumstances is normal. Right? If it's not normal, wonder what's going on. Right? Because remember, according to the laws of nature, that there's always peace before the storm. So if things are going great, smooth, don't think, now the world's working the way it's supposed to work. No, this is before something more heavy is going to happen. So therefore, don't get too distracted. You know, if it's someone who's an enemy suddenly is really nice to you, why are they doing this? You know, so the material energy suddenly is all nice. Okay, something's wrong here. You know, kid who doesn't want to do anything, do their homework, do any work, suddenly, oh, mommy, can I help with, cleaning the house? Okay, what did you do wrong? You know, it's like, you know, does that make sense? Right? So in other words, devotional service is beyond all the considerations of karma, jnana, and yoga. So when we're considering these things, you know, race, caste, sex, other material designations, right, varna, ashram, all these things, then those then define where in the system of engaging those things in Krishna's service comes into play. Right? So that makes these process. But ultimately, that kevala bhakti then goes beyond this. Because that's then the soul and God, the consciousness, the relationship. The other things are a medium you're going to express through the same activities. The activities won't change. But the consciousness changes. The other we're talking about how to connect the consciousness with the activities and those activities and that with the Lord. So when we come to this kevala bhakti, it doesn't mean those stop. But the mentality that was there on those level that's mixed with karma and jnana, that goes. So now the same activities are done in pure devotion. But now they're not dependent upon the material situation. Right? Like that. They've gone beyond that. So that's what we're trying, what Krishna's establishing now. It doesn't mean the form changes. See, difficulty comes at this point. We go, see, all those other things talked about before aren't important. No, the activities and the form remains. But the point is this, Krishna is important. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so it's
appreciate.
Yeah, yeah. No, because that's the way, because Prabhupada, it's just like so many purports, Prabhupada will say, human life begins with varnashram. Right? So that means if you're not practicing varnashram, you're an animal. Basically, if you want to take out the poetry of it, right? So then it's just, you know, blunt facts. But then he'll spend, you know, one or two paragraphs pointing out the pitfalls of varnashram, of becoming attached to it, distracted by it, how not seeing it in relationship to Krishna. So because of that, then one's saying, oh, then, you know, Prabhupada's saying varnashram is not important. Because if you ask devotees about varnashram, they'll say, well, Prabhupada, you know, gives different contradictory things. Sometimes he's very supportive and sometimes he's against. You know what I'm saying? But they're not, what is, just like, let's say, I give you some nice, let's say, ceramic knives, okay? You know, they're the sharpest knives. There's nothing more sharp than these knives, right? So they're the best, right? But having given them to you, yes?
Is it ceramic handle or ceramic blade?
No, the blade is ceramic. They're sharper than even metal. Like that. They're very, you know, one will cost, you know, they're very expensive. Okay. You know? But having given to you, I say, hey, these are the best knives, you know, like that. But then after that, then I start talking about the ceramics, so you can't just throw them around like the metal ones. They'll break, this and that. They're super sharp, so be very, very careful. You know, don't you always cut it on a cutting surface. Don't cut it on, you know, the counter and this and that. And then if you come to the conclusion is that, oh, he's saying don't use these knives. These knives are useless. Would that be intelligent? No. So when Prabhupada already says human life doesn't start until varnashram, and then he gives the pitfalls of it, that how you can get distracted, because it's not that human beings can't get distracted. Now, is Brahma a human being? Yeah, what about the Prajapatis? Okay. What about the great sages? Okay. So, now, are they in the material world? Why are they in the material world? Because they got distracted. So that's the point, is that means, in other words, he's saying that animal life is basically useless for going back to Godhead. You know, like that. So we start with human life, because human life, the other, what's the other way he says human life is beginning? What's the other definition? Inquiring about the absolute truth, right? So that means the Brahminical culture is meant for inquiring about the absolute truth. Right? In other words, one is the philosophy and the contemplation, and the other is the culture and lifestyle. Right? In other words, there's a lifestyle for the someone who has that knowledge. Right? Arjuna, when Krishna presented the philosophy of the soul, he immediately asked, well, what's the lifestyle? What's the culture? Yes?
Are all varnas expected to take sannyas?
Are all varnas expected to take sannyas? Not necessarily. The Brahminical, it's natural. It means when we're saying, and here in varnas we're saying is specifically occupation. We're not talking on the devotional platform. But Brahminical by lifestyle and by the way they deal, it's natural. Others, if they do not, it's nice. But otherwise, vanaprastha is quite suitable for getting out of the material world. But because we're working so strongly on the element of the Brahminical culture and the Brahminical training, then there's the element that if someone comes up to that platform, either that they have the Brahminical nature or through performance of devotional service in that Brahminical environment, or that sattvic environment, that they come to that standard of knowledge and detachment, then they could do it. But it's not so essential. You know, just like Prabhupada was saying, not everybody necessarily has to take second initiation. Right? Those who have that leaning towards the deity worship and those kind of things, then it would be natural. But those who don't, it's not as important. They're initiated, they're connected, so that's the important.
Would it be important for teachers also to take second initiation?
Sorry?
For teachers teaching people who are teaching, would it be also important?
It would be natural. It means if they're actually a teacher, well, why wouldn't they be? Unless they're teaching, you know, something, teaching an art.
Okay.
You know, but if they're actually teaching Shastra, then that would be a natural position. You know, because someone who's good at an art can teach it. You know, but not necessarily, but it would be natural. You do find that means if you ever seen in school that you have classes on art and all that, or things connected like that, and you have some that can really get down to the teaching, go through and analyze it, and then some who it's just all the feeling and mood and trying to bring it out, and it's always emotional and the whole thing's up and down and the emotional platform, then one is an artist who's teaching the art as they perceive it and feel it. They want to share that, and the other one is approaching it from the Brahminical platform. Like that. So, yes?
Can a woman who is usually dependent on the environment attain this platform of pure devotional service even if the environment is unfavorable?
Means they can, through association. But yes, why not? Because the point is that being dependent upon it means we have our faith in it, right? So we can start to have our faith not in it. But what is necessary is that one would naturally become dependent upon Krishna. You understand? So a woman would go from having her faith in the material energy to having her faith in the spiritual energy, in Krishna, right? So the same dependency is there. It's just switched from, you know, illusion to reality. The men can go through the stage of not being dependent upon the material energy, but not being fully dependent upon the spiritual. Right? They can actually function in a non-emotional state. So that aspect then the women won't do. So anything that would be favorable for that and stuff, then those are generally the things that women don't do. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say something like sannyas. So sannyas doesn't stay, he moves, he doesn't have any possessions and all this and that. So that stage means you're not connected to the material energy, but it doesn't necessarily indicate that you're connected to the spiritual. You understand? But for a woman then,
sense the devotional is it's its connection to Krishna is important. Therefore, she can stay at the home, be in a comfortable environment, be with the family and all that, but just switch the focus from the material to the spiritual. You understand? So that will work much better. The same thing is being accomplished, but is being accomplished according to the nature. So that's the point, is regardless of all these material considerations, this aspect of Kevala Bhakti can be practiced by everyone. But these lower stages of karma and jnana and all that, that's going to be very much up to the individual. You know, saying what your conditioned nature is, what it is you'll be able to do. Does that make sense? Okay. This constant meditation attracts Krishna's mercy. According to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, in verse 14 the Lord says, "The devotee attains me easily, not encountering the difficulties in karma yoga or astanga yoga or other processes. I cannot tolerate separation from him, and thus I will show myself to him. I am easy to attain for him because I destroy his obstacles and I perfect his sadhana." Right. So if one is constantly endeavoring to know Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. Because Krishna wants to establish. You know, it's not just he sits there and you have to do all the work. No, it's a natural reciprocal. You make that endeavor, he responds. So he's saying here, he will destroy his obstacles and make his sadhana steady. Does that make sense? Right. So this element is very important. This will come out. We're on, what, 8th chapter. So in the 10th chapter, this will become, Krishna makes this very obvious. Like that. Because he's a person, so he's trying. But the thing is he can only try as much as we make the endeavor. You know, we don't try how he's going to do. Right? You know, so many times, that'll be a complaint in a relationship. You know, the other person's not trying. You know, you're doing things and being considerate, but they're not trying. So how do you have, how does it work? So it's the same thing, you know. Verse 14 describes pure devotional service. Verses 15 to 16 describe the result attained by practicing pure devotional service. After obtaining Krishna, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries because they are completely absorbed in transcendental service, have obtained the highest perfection in Krishna's abode. Such fortunate devotees happily take birth to assist in Krishna's pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 15, the Lord says, "When I take my birth, which is full of joy, spiritual and eternal, in the house of Vasudeva, my devotees will also take such a birth, and not at other times caused by karma. Other devotees attain perfection, but those who exclusively think of me, Ananya Chaitaha, attain the very highest perfection, Paramam Samsiddhim, positioned as an assistant in my pastimes. This indicates the observable superiority of the Kevala Bhakta over all other types of devotees mentioned." So someone who's just thinking of Krishna is not distracted by other things. Right? Doesn't mean you don't do something, it means you're not distracted by it. Right? Does that make sense? So that devotee, then he appears in the Lord's pastimes. Right? Take birth in the pastimes. So where do you take birth in a pastime? In Gokul. Right? So that means then that devotee goes straight into the pastimes. Someone else would be liberated, but if they're not focused on Krishna, then why would they take birth in the pastimes? Right? So in other words, if Moras are just trying to get freed from material energy in that, so then you'd want to be in a very nice situation to where you can experience that being freed from material energy. Right? So it's not specifically in the Lord's pastimes. So he's making this distinction, is that because of that, then, like that.
Yeah? Do you specify a little where that exactly is?
Not if where that is. You want to know if it's just
past times,
but it's, you know, as if it's, you know,
is it just behind the bushes? Or?
You know, is that, well, I think it's probably near Lexington, you know,
okay,
like
yeah.
that. You know, something that, well, that would probably be like that. You know, it wouldn't be over like on 8th or something.
Okay.
Or, you know, stuff like that. Be more towards the, you know, center of things. So maybe even park, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, or maybe if you don't prefer that slide, then in the borough of Westminster or something, you know, something like that. You know, next to, you know, just on Regent Park, you know, something like that. Yeah, not bad. Okay. Problem is this traffic's still there. They still drive by your house, you know, like that. You know, so it's just, you know, what can you do? Now, the point is you'd be in a situation that's one is very elevated, but it means, what does it mean if you're too distracted by karma and gyan? Then what does that mean? Are you very fixed in devotional service? No. What does Krishna say happens to the person who's not fixed in devotional service? He goes to the heavenly planets. You know, so in other words, that's why you have, if you're more into karma, then that will be, you know, where the demigods are. And if it's not, you're more into liberation, that's, you know, your Janatapa, Satya, like these kind of places. You know, and then when that's finished, then you come back. Then you take birth in, you know, religious, pious, these kind of families. But for the devotee, even if he's not perfect, he takes birth in the devotee family.
So in Gokula, everybody is part of the pastimes.
Everybody's part of the pastimes. Means if they're not, then whether they're jivas or whether they're just an expansion of the, you know, internal potency, you know, the sandini potency. That's, you know, in other words, are the husbands of the, you know, it means the yogic brahmins, are they actually jivas or are they just part of the sandini potency? You know, one could say, you know, like this, because you're like jatila, you know. They're there to bring out certain flavors in the pastimes, right? But the wives of the yogic brahmins, those may be jivas who are surrendering. You understand? You know, so all the cows and trees, you don't have to worry who they are. Like that. Does that make sense? The highest planets in the material world, down to the lowest, are all places of miseries wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to the abode of Sri Krishna never takes birth again, right? Just so that one understands is that, okay, there's so much difficulty here, but such a devotee attains to that place where there is no such difficulty, right? So then it already establishes the superiority, right? So that can develop that faith and everything. One can move towards like that. The Lord emphasized that every situation in the material world is miserable, and the only remedy is to go back home, back to Godhead, right? Because otherwise one may have faith to, okay, maybe in this situation, well, now I'm doing devotional service, now materially everything should start to go nice. No, we're doing devotional service, material world stays the same. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change. You know, it's like you have a video, and now if you're watching some nonsense, you know, movie, or you're watching something to do with Krishna, does the machine change? Right, you know, you have this old, you know, kind of like thing with the tube and stuff in it. But when you put on a video of Krishna, then suddenly it changes into this new, you know, LCD, you know, 103-inch hangs on the wall, you know, like that, you know, 3D, you know, all that. That right? Isn't that what happens? Yeah.
And
right,
starts making coffee too.
Yeah, and it even makes coffee, washes clothes, irons them too. But not just regular iron, it actually does the steam press, you know, like that. And folds them and hangs them in the closet. That's why it costs so much, right? Yeah. So, isn't that what happens? No, the form stays the same. It doesn't change like that. But the point is, because it's connected to Krishna, you don't get the reactions. You don't get the suffering. So that means the same thing that before would drive you crazy, now is connected to Krishna. Right. So that's the point that's nice.
So in your example, this old tube would, after this old film, I'll just be grumbling, or with Krishna's film, I'll be happy. That's
yes. Yeah, that would be the point. But not that the medium changes. You know, it's just like this. Let us say you're Krishna conscious. Do babies cry? Right? Do you need to change diapers? Right? Okay. Now let's say you're not Krishna conscious. Do they cry?
Yes.
You have to change diapers. Right, but the difference is how you see it. Here's a devotee, you're training him in Krishna consciousness. You know, like that. You understand? So it changes the perspective. But the situation doesn't change. So Krishna's making it very clear. Because otherwise one might think, well, here's a problem. Like, I can go, if I go to the heavenly planets, there's no problem, it'll be easier. No. He's pointing out it's always a problem no matter where you are. Because your perception changes. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the more, let's say, more rugged the individual, the more, rough is their environment. But because they're rugged, it only bothers them a little bit. But you have a very refined person, and you put them in a very refined environment, but still, there's always the same amount of experience of something's wrong. You know, they didn't fold the napkin quite properly, or, you know, they prefer the four tines instead of the three tines on the fork. You know, all these different things, there's something going to be wrong. You know, they pick it up. Is this solid silver? You know, like that. You know, so, you know what I'm saying? There's something to bother you. Like that. So it never goes away. Does that make sense? That's the thing. The material energy never changes this element of it being miserable. It just doesn't. Like that. Because otherwise, see, is that karma, you do good work, you get good result. So religion is good work. So therefore, I should be in a nice material situation. Does that make sense? So that mistake shouldn't be made. Because the real religion is in connection with Krishna, is in the spiritual world. Right? That's where you see it practiced in its natural form. So we have to switch the faith to there, not keep it here.
Maharaj, is that point where religion changes into spirituality?
Is that the point where religion changes? Yes, because you have Dharma and then you have Sanatana Dharma. Means, in other words, what is practiced in Dharma is the same lifestyle as is in Sanatana Dharma. The difference is the perspective. Is the Dharma important or is the pleasing Krishna important? But it doesn't change. You know what I'm saying? You know, but because there's so much of nice absorption in Krishna and everything connected to Krishna, then the more direct activities of Dharma are what's used. But when people don't have that focus, then to keep them busy, then other elements are expanded that are important for them. That because direct activities in connection with Krishna aren't important to them. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why then you see as these other karma, jnana, and yoga expand to keep them busy. Right? Means the yogi who's always meditating on Krishna, does he have to sit around like a pretzel? Is it important? No, he could be doing, activities for Krishna. Right? But that would be karma. Right? But connected to Krishna, karma yoga. But he's interested in this other thing, so he likes pretzels. Right? But this other person likes getting things done. Now, the one could consider as a side thing, is that those who have developed the pretzel also like to get things done practically. So, how does this work? So is that a mix between karma and yoga? Does it make sense? But knowledge is not generally the main thing. It means they have knowledge to get the thing done. But if you go to the next country, then they're more into philosophy and discussing and sitting around and drinking their coffee and talking all this stuff. You know, but then they're not into pretzels and not necessarily into getting things done. Like that. So, so how does this work? I don't know.
Eat the pretzel is generally not getting much done. It's more a recreational mode.
It's more a recreational mode. That's also true. But then after that, then they get to do some work. But maybe this is the result of their karma, is the pretzelness. Yeah. I think also it depends upon whether you're in the Bavarian forest or not. Also, how much the practical or recreational element is prominent, I think.
But at the same time, the BMW is made in that forest. So.
Will this be on the essays?
I'm not sure. I doubt it. But I mean, you want to put in as a separate.
Okay.
You feel you would do well in this area.
I think I would do pretty good.
Okay. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes in Renunciation Through Wisdom, the karmis, jnanis, and yogis, as well as the common politicians, and anyone else who is working hard to make a comfortable and peaceful situation in this material world, must clearly realize that the world is transitory and full of misery. However much one may toil to make a permanent settlement in this world, at the end everyone is forced to leave. As long as one stays here, one must come to grips with the reality of suffering. Since time immemorial, the soul has been coming and going. The Lord's devotees, however, not only live happily in this world, but after they leave here, they enter the eternal and ever blissful abode of the Lord. By the influence of karma, one who is attracted to the material body and mind has to change bodies life after life. In this way, the soul roams the 14 planetary systems within this material universe, sometimes going up and sometimes coming down. These planets are transitory, merely theatrical stages upon which the soul enacts his mundane existence. But when the living entity is elevated to spiritual perfection and is situated in his pure eternal identity, devoid of mundane designations, he attains the natural habitat of the spirit soul. The supramundane realm, transcending this material creation, and the intermediary zone of the unmanifested Brahman effulgence. So we see the focus now is coming on to what we're generally used to discussing, right? This pure devotional service, because this is the essential element. Like what we were discussing in the other chapters, we know about, but in such, you know, exacting detail or analyzation, we may not, you know, be at, as a regular, you know, forum, a regular discussion. Right? So, but Krishna's saying this, it doesn't mean the other things change. That's very important. So just because we say it's a place of misery, therefore it has, you know, it should be given up, it doesn't mean that the activities within the world change. What changes is the Krishna consciousness. And that's why one's happy, one's connected to Krishna. Krishna's pleased, you'll be pleased. And if you're not connected to Krishna, then you're not going to be happy. You'll call it happiness, but, you know, can you call one moment happiness? You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty, is that there's a state of always being happy, right? That's happiness. But that state is in connection with Krishna. But we're so used to this idea that happiness is something we're trying to obtain. But as soon as we obtain it, then it's not there anymore. Right? The guy's working, oh, if we had a house like this, then everything would be perfect. And then we get the house, and then what? Then the fights start. You know, where does the furniture go? Where do we hang the Rembrandt? You know, it's all these things like that. So all this starts. You know what I'm saying? So the difficulty comes is that the material existence is always going to be difficult. But its connection to Krishna is what makes it work nicely. Like that. So the difficulty comes is that we have to understand these two run at once. The medium is the same, the consciousness changes. Right? Because otherwise, why would Krishna have gone through all the other six chapters if all that's going to be thrown out? Because one could say, no, but here he's throwing it out. But if that's the case, why at the end of the Gita he's going to tell Arjuna to fight? And Arjuna's going to agree to do so. So what changed?
Consciousness,
right? They're still on the chariot. Krishna's driving. Arjuna's shooting his arrows. You know, they didn't change sides. Nothing else was there. The same exact war. So all that changed was the consciousness. Right? So it's important to know that we're building, right? We're taking our activities. Then we're adding to that knowledge. Then we're adding to that absorption in Krishna. And now we're taking it that our motive is not, this karma jnana yoga. Even though it's connected to Krishna, but it's now it's just kevala bhakti to just please Krishna. But the form stays the same. So that's why Prabhupada would be so much of the time teaching all the culture and all these things to the devotees. That makes sense. The word mam upetya, achieving me, are used in both verses, 15 and 16. The Lord repeats them to emphasize that the devotee should desire only him and should be detached from all kinds of material situations. To reinforce this point, Krishna compares the material and the spiritual worlds in verses 17 to 22. Right? So anything repeated, according to Mimamsa, then means it's important. Right? Something that's repeated, something that's glorified. So he's saying by the devotee obtains him, it's the best position, this devotional service, so we can understand this is special. Right? So connecting to him makes it special. But here now he's pointing about beyond the connecting to him, it's actually directly connecting to him. It means as Bhagavan, that he is a person, has his activities and his pastimes, his associates. That has to be the focus, as opposed to the situation, right? Why do we say situation? Why is situation being brought out here? Why is it being targeted? You see? Yes, sambandha. Why do you need a situation? Can you do an activity without a situation?
No,
you have to have an environment, a field of activity. There's no field of activities. There's no activity, right? It's a field of activity, right? So when there's the field, then the activity can be performed, the result can be gained, right? So now the result we've already connected to Krishna, right? So in karma, jnana, and yoga, the results are connected to Krishna, so it's naishkarmya. So that'll free one from the material world, right? It'll remove the attachments to the material world. But now, the point is, by conditioning, we like working in that field and doing that activity. That's the meaning of conditioning. Right? We like that. In working in the area of karma, whatever area it is, in jnana, right? You know, we like that. That's why we're doing it. But it's connected to Krishna, it's for Krishna, so it's glorious, it's uplifting, it's yoga. But then there's the element is that, but more important is Krishna. Right? More important is him. So that's then the element he's bringing out here, and he's repeating that. Is that you're trying to please him. That means then these activities are just used to please him. You know, before it's used to please him, but it's also pleasing you. Right? Means the real point is you're being pleased because it pleases Krishna. But you're attached to that activity, then you're getting the results, and so you're inspired to perform the activity. You know, through that medium of karma and jnana, because it's getting you a better result than you would be getting otherwise. So you're inspired to do work for Krishna, or knowledge for Krishna, or like this. Does this make sense? So, but Krishna's saying here, at some point you even have to leave that. You know, it's like it has to be, the person is important. You know, that's the thing. So, that's what he's bringing out here. Like that. One should desire only him. Because otherwise then it's not pure devotion. There's him and something else. So it's nice, he's involved. You know. That's you know, that's a start. It's something. But it's still not as good as if those things are how you say it? Those things aren't the motive. So when we say given up, we're talking about the attachment to them. The need for the desire means, in other words, the need to be in that environment that does that activity and gets that result. Our point is we just want to please Krishna. That's what Krishna's looking for. But it's not like the impersonalist who would conclude, therefore that means we give up the work. Right? Does that make sense? So these are the elements that actually defeat the Mayavad philosophy. Right? So 17 to 22. By human calculation, 1,000 years taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifested state. And thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Again and again, when Brahma's days arrive, all living entities come into being. And with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Yet there is another unmanifested nature, which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested nature. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having obtained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. The Supreme Personality, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading and everything is situated in him. So we see these fine lines, is that this unmanifested state, this is the Vasudeva Sattva, right? This is the Mahat. So everything merges back into Mahat. So one is actually in an transcendental state. But it's a temporary transcendental state. Right? One is there, and then when Brahma wakes up in the morning, then the world manifests again, and then you go back to wherever it is according to your karma. And then when he goes to sleep at night, one's merged back into there. So this keeps happening, yes.
In that unmanifested state, is the jiva conscious and aware?
One is, it would depend upon the individual, but basically they're in the state of Vasudeva Sattva, so that appreciation of that oneness is there, but at the same time as then when the Lord sleeps, everybody sleeps. Right? Because Brahma's sleeping here because the Lord sleeps. Right? Because most people don't care about the Lord, but Brahma they'll relate to. So it's his day and night. But the reason it's his day and night is because that's when the Lord sleeps. Right? Because he's with the thousand-headed Vishnu. Right? The Purusha, the Sahasra. You know, when the Purusha Shukta is talking about the Lord with the thousand heads, thousand arms, that's who lives with Brahma. Right? So when he sleeps, then everybody sleeps. So it all merges into him. So then one is not conscious. Like that.
Within the material realm, there's wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For the soul, is there a similar thing that when the soul is engaged in transcendence, it's wakefulness, material illusion, and dream, and then at this stage of the Brahma's night, that's a deep sleep?
I think there's a place where it defines that. I think earlier in some purports, or if not in the second canto, but just, I don't know, just some weeks ago, I was reading something like that. So, but I think it's mentioned in here. But basically, oh no, I think it's with Dhruva Maharaj. It's in the purports with Dhruva Maharaj, where he says now he feels he's awake. I think it's in those purports. Then Prabhupada's pointing out is that this is actually a wakeful stage. In the material world, then it's like you're dreaming. Like that. He doesn't so much mention the third state, but he says it's like when you're dreaming. You know, and then this, when you go to sleep, then that's your deep sleep. You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. That verse, we see that one day of Brahma is a couple of trillion years in human calculations.
I think it's 4,300,000,000. Yeah, that will be the day. No, his lifetime is 311 trillion years. So the 4,300,000,000, that will be 1,000 cycles of the four yugas, like that.
Yeah, I was just reading that, and then Prabhupada said that for Brahma is just like a blink, this life, I mean, in terms of the whole existence. And in those trillions of years, I mean, how many lives one takes. So I was thinking that we get attached to a specific situation, but it's more like the consciousness which is pervading all of these lives, which is the big thing.
Yeah. I mean, his point is time is applying on everything. And by the time factor, then we experience it differently. So just like when Brahma is on his planet, then he's going to be very big and work in that time frame. When he comes here, he takes the size here and works within this time frame. Right? So your time frame, like the ant, he lives, you know, if he lives 2 weeks, but that 2 weeks to him is 100 years. You know, like that. So they have that full experience. This is what the Karma Shastra doesn't talk about. Because if that was talked about too much, no one would perform good activities. They would just go to sinful activities. Right? If you're told, you know, you work very hard, you'll live for millions of years, then you think, great, I'll do that. So then they do nice work. So at least they're pious. But if you're told, you know, when you get there, that millions of years to you will feel like 100 years, then they may not, well, I'll just try to enjoy now. So that's why the Karma Shastra doesn't talk about it. It'll be here and there, but it won't be talked. That's talked in the Jnana Shastras. Because the Jnana Shastra is how to get out of the material world. Because there, it doesn't matter where you are, it's the same. You understand? So that's here. And then, now we're taking even beyond that, is even those situations that are discussed on the platform beyond, even that's temporary. You're liberated, but even that's temporary. So only the spiritual world in the relationship with the Lord, that's eternal. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's because we usually think that I'm attached to a house, to security, to this, but rather now I'm trying to think that I'm attached to that consciousness which has been pervading all.
Yes, means that consciousness, this is just, if one's attached to a house, that means that's been cultivated for some time. Because then karma is there. Because if one's in a state of jnana, one's not attached. But one will have been doing that for millions of lifetimes. So you get the idea. At least you're talking thousands, if not millions, before one gets tired of that and moves on to the next stage. Right? And then when, after jnana doesn't work for you, you become angry. And then you move on to voidism. You know? And then when that doesn't work, then you come back to karma. Like that. So like that, you just, you know, you get, like you said, it's one day of Brahma, for us maybe millions and millions of lifetimes, so you have to be kept busy. Right? Otherwise, could you imagine, you know, a universe full of completely bored, doesn't know what to do souls? Now that would be a problem. You know? What would they do? So ideas, they're interacting and all that, they're actually interacting with the Lord, they don't know it. So all it is change the consciousness and they're rightly situated. Because if someone's doing nothing, you can't do anything with it. You know what I'm saying? So you're doing nothing in illusion, and now I do nothing in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? But you're busy in life, with your family and everything, in illusion, but that same thing can be connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that proper action and knowledge and meditation, these are what people are doing, right? Why is he working? Because he's thinking of the family, right? When he's at the office and the boss is bothering him and it's really having a hard time, then what does he do? You know, he looks at the picture on his desk and then he thinks, okay, I'm doing it for them, right? So his meditation, you know, his work, you know, you understand? You know, knowledge is there, how to do your work better. Like that. The more he's able to analyze the situation, the more efficient it works. But so all these three situations are which is going to be what absorbs the consciousness of the living entity. It's not something else. So those can all be connected to Krishna in yoga. Does that make sense? So that's why if you're already doing, you know, it's just like in your traditional, you know, Vedic society, people get up in the Brahma Muhurta and they do something auspicious. Right? So now, if you're already living that lifestyle, then how easy is it for it to be, instead of, you know, doing something else, you go to the temple and go to Mangalarti? Right? You already have some sadhana, you're already chanting some mantras, you already have a guru, you already respect the scriptures, you're already studying the scriptures. So now all you do is change from to Sadguru, studying Gita, Bhagavatam. You know what I'm saying? You're already giving money in charity, now you know who to give it to. You know what I'm saying? Like you're already taking care of guests now, instead of just any old guest, now it's devotees. You understand? So that's the advantage, is that what you have going on already is very easy to just switch. Right? So that's the thing. As we go now, because of the preaching and all these things, then imperceptibly this has affected the society. So now things that back in the 60s were, you know, unheard of in general society, now it's just normal. All these, you know, elements of, you know, spirit, quasi-spiritual and Eastern and all that, that's pretty normal. You know, normal people talk about, oh, that's your karma. You know, you did something and it blew up in your face, you know. So it says, hey, that's your karma. You know, so it's, these things are normal. So it's actually easier to preach now. You know what I'm saying? But you have to know how to preach on that level. So that's why these early chapters of Gita, you know what to do. And then the later chapters will give you more technical detail. You know, so it works. Does that make sense? So the consciousness, yes, is there. That's what's, that's connecting us through these lifetimes. One has an idea that karma, by arranging my situation nicely, I will be happy. Because what is karma? I'm arranging a situation for a ritual, and then doing that ritual in an auspicious environment, with the purpose that that will create an auspicious element in the future. Does that make sense? So it's there. Or you think through knowledge and detachment, you'll be happy. So then one's doing that and trying different ways, you know. Does that make sense? You know, you're sitting in Prague and saying that, or you're sitting in Paris and saying that, you're sitting in New York and saying that, or, you know, sitting in some place in L.A. and saying that. And then after that, generally you don't say that. You know, in Hawaii, they're not saying that. You know, does that make sense? So it's just slow, you know, you do this for many lifetimes. But then at some point, it doesn't work anymore. So then you switch to something else. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why the Vedic is engage someone according to their nature. And the earlier you start, the better. Otherwise, somebody has their idea what they'd like to do, and if they can't do it, then later when they do it, then it takes them longer to figure it out. I mean, just a simple example. I've seen, like, we have the martial arts classes. So then I saw before, when we were running them, that when the first day they had the martial arts class, the whole school went like that. But then after, you know, so many push-ups and sit-ups and other things like this and that, the next day, there was only about a third of the school was there. It already dropped off. And then, you know, after another week or two, then it came down to, you know, there were maybe 20 boys out of 120 that were, you know, quite interested. Right? So very quickly they figured out, this is not what I want to do. And the other kids were not upset that these guys did, you know, martial arts, because, you know, they were doing that and they'd rather do something else. But now if you said, no, you can't do, then they always have this mind that they want to do, and they idealize it. Then later on when they try to do it, then they're not good at it, and they don't really want to put in the effort, but they have this idea in their mind. And people are telling them that you're not suited, but they won't believe it. And it takes a long time before they, you know, it may even be years before they kind of give up. So then they would have wasted years. Well, here it was just one day. You know. Does that make sense? So that's the point in the Vedic system, is according to your nature you're engaged. Then you actually see. Either it is your nature so you're comfortable, or you think it's your nature and then you figure out really fast it's not. Right? So that's it, yes.
You're talking about detachment. You're also talking about in relation to doing what you like to do. Now we're talking about nature. So naturally we like to do what is our nature. So could you kind of elaborate on, if I really like to do something and it's my nature, then that's good. But how can it be bad in the sense of it's not pure? I'm not doing it, like you're saying, I'm doing it because I like to do it.
Because the point we're making here is that, see, this is the second stage that we're at. Because this is, what is it, eighth chapter. So Krishna already before was talking about the first stage of taking your nature and connecting it and the gloriousness of that. But the point is still it's naishkarmya. Because in connecting your nature, you mean you have the field of activity, your identity, or the sambandha. Then you have the activity itself and its experience. That's the abhideya. But the reason that you're doing something is for a result, prayojana. So the result's been given to Krishna. So you like that field, you like those activities, but the result's for Krishna. So that's where the detachment is. Because attachment is prayojana. Like that. Interest or inspiration, that's sambandha. Right? I'm inspired to do, I have desire, that's sambandha. But attachment is what you do. So now you're changing it, that drive to do it. You're inspired to do it, but the drive to do it is the result for Krishna. So you've already switched it already, because that's why anything goes on, is because of the result. So now that's going nicely, and Krishna has explained it through karma and jnana and yoga, how that process is done. Whatever that field that's there in karma, jnana, yoga, and the activities of that are fine as long as you connect it by the result is for Krishna. Right? So that makes it karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga. But now in this eighth chapter, he's showing that kevala bhakti means that you're not doing it because you're attached to the field or the experience of the activity. You're doing it just because you want to please him. So it takes it to another level. But the activity doesn't change. The situation doesn't change. That's what's important. Because of our, impersonal, proclivity, then like the impersonalist, we will take it, well, if we're giving up that, we're giving up the activity. Because we think spiritual means that it can't actually have interaction and activity. It means there can be no form, there can be no action. Like that. Result, we figured there's no result anyway. It doesn't matter what you do, you're always going to be unhappy. So therefore result is just, void or like that. So that part doesn't change. Even the impersonalist, the voidist can relate to. That's why there's not going to be a problem in their relating to our philosophy, if it's explained technically. But what they can't understand is that the field stays the same and the activity stays the same. Even the experience stays the same. But your attachment on that changes. So that's the difference. So we see is that being attached to the results, then that will be sakam. So that will be more prominent in the neophyte devotee. Not being attached to result, but being comfortable in that activity, that would be the madhyam. But that's given up for that, coming to the uttam platform. It means there's no attachment to the activity. Like that. Does that make sense?
It does. This is a subtle point, because if I like doing something, and I'm trying to do it to please Krishna, sometimes I can't distinguish between the pleasure I'm receiving because I think I'm detached, or just because it's my nature and I like doing it. It seems to be
the point is if it's connected to Krishna, Krishna's happy, so you'll be happy. Because you could be doing the same activity and not be happy. Because, situations or something, some mentality or something else is, you love to cook. But then tells you have to cook this and that deals roughly. You're cooking, but you don't like doing it because the element of relationship is disturbed. So the point is the relationship is the important part. So here we start with the results because we can relate. I'm a person. God's a person. So therefore I stay and do what I do as an individual and he does what he does as an individual. But because of the activity, then it's sacrifice. So sacrifice means you're voluntarily giving up the results or doing the work for someone else's benefit. So then that means it's for Krishna. So I can relate to that. I'm who I am, he's who he is, and the results for him. So that's natural. That would be, a higher grade relationship, even on the level of pranamoy. That's what you do. You have your position of sense gratification, someone else has theirs, but you work for their sense gratification. So it's extended sense gratification, but the sense of sacrifice is there. Good work is there, so one's inspired. But here then, because it's connected to Krishna, then it goes beyond that platform. Right? You're getting a spiritual result rather than just a material result. But then you're coming to the point is, I'm an individual, he's an individual, but how do I bring my individuality by that mood and flavor in line with his? I remain an individual, but I'm able to bring that in line. So this is where, if I'm an individual, there's no bringing in line. Right? In other words, except what I want to do. Or, I bring it in line, there's no individuality. Right? Because that's karma and jnana. But here, Krishna's pointing out is that the individuality remains, but the commonness of mentality is one. So the oneness is there in mood, in purpose. But individuality and the activity remain the same. But because that has happened, then now the individuality has its perfection. So now it's not you're doing it because of what taste you get. You're doing it because of what taste Krishna gets. Because you're an individual, so the taste you're giving is different from the next soul. So unlimited souls, so each one is unique. So that means each one performing even the same activity will give a different pleasure to Krishna. So then that remains. So that's the sarvadharma pratityaja. Is that you're, instead of going from, I'm doing the activities in the field I like to please Krishna, I'm starting with, I'm pleasing Krishna, and therefore I do these activities that work according to my nature. If I'm working in spiritual nature, I'll do what's there naturally in that rasa. But if I'm in the material nature, just what works for my material position. So I don't have to, there's no change in position. That's why the social system stays intact. So whether one's a non-devotee, or one's a neophyte devotee, or madhyam, uttamadhikar, it doesn't change. The culture doesn't change. You know, so Krishna's dealing with goes into Mathura, and the culture followed by, the Garland Man, or things like that. You know, they're just guys. But then they recognize Krishna's position. But the culture is no different from the washerman. Same culture, but he was loyal to his who was above him. But he didn't see that Krishna's above even that. So he was following the culture, but on a lower level. You know, so it's below standard. Then it's a better standard. You know, Kumja then made even a more active element like that. But still, it's within the realm of, what she wants from it. You know, so it just keeps going up. Then the queens and Dwarka and all that, then that's even more, right? There's more surrender in that than Kumja. And the culture is the same. Then you go to Vrindavan, where there's complete surrender, but it's the same culture. So the form doesn't change. The form doesn't change, yes.
Yeah, one of the things I've observed in Indian culture is that the children are very obedient to the parents. So if the parents say, do this, it may have nothing to do with their nature, but they'll do it. I spoke to one boy, I said, why are they all engineers and computer programmers coming to America? He said, because back 10, 15 years ago, we saw that this was the new industry. So our parents want us to do it, and we do it. And I said, well, if they realize that agriculture was going to be the next explosion, in a way to get rich, would you be doing that? He said, probably.
Because the essential thing is profit. It means, in other words, you're going to be successful in life if you make money. And you're going to make money at this time, in IT and those things. So that's how you're going to get your money, have your house, and therefore you're going to be successful in taking care of your family. So they're just looking at what will make that kind of profit. Like that. So then it will also be a value as are you doing it yourself independently, or are you working for someone? You'll also find that. So those who are in the business community, they'll learn those things, go to America, work for somebody to figure out how it works, then start their own business. While the others will go and work for them, they come back after 20 years of still working. You know, so the element is that their faith in karma. And so they actually understand. It means generally most of the world, except for the first world, understands the connection between, the practical, down-to-earth things that make family and relationships work and also your occupation. But somehow or another, the first world doesn't see the connection so much anymore. I'm not sure why. Maybe because the culture is always changing when these others are old. The Indian culture, it's basically the same foundation as before, same in the Orient in that. They're the oldest, living cultures. So they know that a family works because you have facility. Well, the West is just, oh, if you just have that love, like that. But they don't actually know how to define the love and don't know how to maintain it. Well, these others, though it appears more materialistic and more less romantic, they know that if you have the right environment and interact in that favorable environment, that affection naturally develops. Because otherwise, you know, how long can you go, you know, skipping through the rain and, you know, being intimate, you know, rolling around in the bushes, you know, it's like they know there's a limit to that, you know, like 6 months is about, you know, where it ends. So they base it on what's actually going to work. So there's a different perspective there. But the difficulty is coming is that there isn't the connection to the culture like it is before. So there's that respect of the parents and all that that is there from the culture. But why is respect for the parents there? Why is it their invaded culture? Because the parents are supposed to give you God consciousness, or at least minimum the proper culture. You know, so you're situated properly within those activities that are going to, you know, on a longer term, you know, at least, in the one lifetime, give you better results. So it's from the scriptures. You know, there is guru, there is authority, there is sadhana. So now it's just that respect for the parents is kept, but everything else is lost. So you ask the parents why, they can't say. You know, so the difficulty comes is the whole thing gets lost. So the you know, what's left of the culture is still even that's of more value. Because they'll do better materially and, you know, they make great congregational devotees. Like that. They'll be more stable in that. You go to the temple and, you know, there's the same guys, you know, they're in, how you say, in college and that. They're coming to the temple and they're fired up and all that. And then there's the other Western local devotees, whatever is the culture there. Then let's say you go away. You come back after 5 years. Now those guys, you know, that were there, the college Indian guys, they're married now and their businesses are going well and they're situated in their, you know, big house and they drive up in their BMW. But all the local devotees, they're all changed. And then you come back in another 5 years and they'll be even more situated. Now the kids are growing up and everything and they're coming to the temple and doing the same old things. And it's another group of local devotees. So that culture is valuable in that it keeps one steady because even in that there is a concept of religion, of some kind of sadhana, of some kind of authority, though it's getting, you know, farther and farther distant. So that's the advantage of the culture. That's the only reason probably talking about the Vedic culture so much is because if one follows that, then anybody can be included. And at the same time is then when they understand the importance of Krishna consciousness, they'll be able to progress very quickly because their lifestyle matches the natural, you know, pure lifestyle of the pure devotee. Does that make sense? But but we're not interested in establishing Varnashram on its own, like that, because it's a very slow process. It takes, you know, can take hundreds of thousands of births to move up to the Brahminical platform. So, but if it's done through Daiva Varnashram, then it can be done in one lifetime. So it's much more important. So we're interested simply because it's a very efficient cultural tool. Like that. Does that make any sense? So, like that. It just needs to be... Yeah. It means, in other words, we have to break it apart more than what will be social considerations or, basically social considerations, social and economic situations. Because those all have something behind them. They have a mechanics behind that doesn't change. Whether it's social, whether it's economic, whether it's religious, it all works on the same mechanics. You know, it doesn't change. You know, you have the family car, and, you know, the mother drives it very carefully down to the shopping, you know, things like that, and the father takes it out for long drives to get, you know, away, and then if the teenager gets a hold of it, goes for a joyride. But it works on the same principles. You push the same pedals and turn the same wheel, and it doesn't change. So that's the thing is that, but the consciousness in all three are different. But the mechanics doesn't change. So the mechanics of activity don't change no matter what you're doing. Dharma, artha, karma, moksha, or bhakti, they're exactly the same. Because all it means the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world where there's only bhakti going on. There is no karma gyan in all these different things. But it's reflected here. But people only take a certain aspect of the reflection. Or they don't see Krishna in the reflection. You know, it'd be like looking at yourself in the mirror and not understanding yourself. You know, if you understand yourself, then you work, but you work with yourself, not with the mirror. You know, it can give you an indication what's going on, but then you work with yourself. Right? But if you think it's the mirror, and you start scratching the mirror, you know, there's some smudge on your face, so you start rubbing the mirror. That's called illusion. Then you get frustrated. Why it's not going away? You know, I'm working so hard. You know, I'm not getting results. So that's like that, you know. Or you can't even recognize this youth. And like animals, they see it, they think it's another animal. You know, so they start fighting. You know? So I guess it's still, it's a relationship. So. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, I was also thinking of someone has a natural inclination to do something, but he's very dutiful to a superior, so he'll suppress that inclination.
Yeah.
Is that a good quality, or is that actually...
No, it's a good quality, in that because if you're submissive to the authority, it's a good quality. But now, to situate yourself properly doesn't mean you have to reject authority to do that. You know, that's the difficulty, what I was saying in the first world concept, is that the individual is more important and all this and that. But that individual doing what he likes, what happens if he does what he likes and no one's there being around him? He goes out and he wants to go out and do skydiving and do this and that. But if there's nobody else, is he going to be satisfied? No. So the individual is important in that he's part of the social system. So you have to balance the two. So that's, the one is just as much as the one is off in the one way, you know, just following authority even though you don't like it. And the other is don't follow authority and like it. But they're both the same. They're just two sides of the same coin. But of the two, if you look at it in stark reality is what I want, is that the ones who follow authority are actually economically and socially way better off than the ones who don't. Like that. You know. So that's the difficulty. Because you see, even in the, you know, home of the maverick, the Asians are taking over. There aren't poor Asians in America. They all have houses, but there's plenty of poor Americans. You like that? After they be there a few generations and they lose that Asian culture, then yeah, they become just like everybody else. But if you see, it's that they go there and because they have these things, they do well. So even materially, it's better. So there is no foundation for these elements of authority issues that are so much the basis of the Western cultural, you know, environment of, you know, equality and good and everything like that, because they don't know what's equal. You know, it's like saying the elephant and the dog, they're equal, so therefore they both, you know, they both get a can of dog food, you know, that's it, you know, so that's not going to work. Or, yeah, the dog's got to eat, you know, 300 kilos of sugar cane, you know, otherwise, you know, what's wrong, dog, you're not eating, you know, like this, you know. So they're taking these, the concept of equality is very good, right? It's Krishna talks about it. But they don't know that it's on the level of the soul, not on the conditioned nature. Otherwise, you know, this and this are different. If I say they're equal, then, you know, I can't fill this up with, you know, 2.5 liters of water. You know, I say, and I can't build my house out of this. So if you can't see that, that's called unintelligent. But the problem is the modern man thinks he's so intelligent. So he gets distracted by very unintelligent foundations that he tries to base his social and economic life on. You know, so it's very distractive. So the karmis do it, you know, it's just foolish. We say one or two times and we move on. But when the devotees take it up, then it becomes really useless. Really useless. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Just on that level. It's not that it's important, but there's less temples in America now than there were in the 70s. And the amount of temples that were here, you know, there's more than there are in America in those days. Before, there was Calcutta, you had Delhi, you had Vrindavan, you had Bombay, and that's all you had. And now there's like 80 or 90 temples, and they're growing. And there's devotees. Because the element of authority is accepted. So they're prosperous. But in the West, then, you know, using the term, you know, authority issues is actually a euphemism. And they're not successful. Everything's falling apart. Because if there's no authority, nothing works. You can't even run a business if there's not authority. Because the guy who's running the business is the boss. And everybody else has to follow his lead. Like that. It's just the way it works. So this idea of the independence is good as long as you're leading. But you can never be, no one can be a leader if he doesn't accept authority. You can be a leader, you can be an authority if you accept authority. But nowadays you have people who don't accept authority, who are trying to be authorities. And it is working very badly. It is blowing up in their face so badly. Does that make some sense? So that element is, though it's not good. So what we're saying is it's not good that they're following even though their nature's differently. But the point is it's, but what are they saying is not their nature? Maybe they don't want to do IT, they'd rather do a different business. But making money and having a family and being prosperous, that's not what they're complaining about. Right? You have one or two. Yes, they would rather move into the temple and be a devotee and do all those things and preach. You'll have a few like that. That, then you could say, this is very different in nature. But if a businessman, he'd rather be selling steel, but, you know, his family's always sold cloth, and so he's doing it because it's the family business. It's not actually going outside of his nature. It's a detail within nature. But here is that if you're saying that, well, he has to do, you know, business and all that, but he'd rather be a sadhu, that's a difference in nature. That would be, he'd rather be situated as a Brahmin, but he has to do because the family tradition, he's doing his Vaishya work. That would be very different. So, you know, what they're saying is that, because the point, the clue is in, you're saying, well, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they saw in that, you know, this is the direction that the world's going, this is where the money is. But that means that they're money families. They're business families. So just that they're smart and they figured out this is coming. So then they're going to invest in that. And then, you know, kids will go more into science and that and get those things in university and get their degrees and then go and like that. So they can see like that. So any culture that's smart sees that, you know. Even in the Western culture, those who are successful see like that. But you don't hear about them, you know, because it's always what's on the street is what you hear about, because that's what you can market and sell. You know, but so the principle of authority, you know, still is very important. But you have to distinguish what is the element of where they're being forced. Forced in this case is a detail, right? But then, you know, they'd rather do something, but great. But they're still successful. And so they don't mind the success, but they'd rather do it some other way. So if they were doing the way they were doing, better. But it only really has significance is that they're doing what they would rather do, so their mind is more peaceful, so therefore they deal with their family better on the mundane platform. And so, but on the spiritual platform, it's because they're doing according to their nature, then actually all the desires within the heart are being engaged. And then in that way, also they're going to engage nicely better with the family and the social system. So presence as a member of the society will be improved, and their experience of dealing with material energy and understanding that the actual dealing with material energy isn't what makes me happy, right? It's the connection to Krishna. Then that's what's of value. So that's why you want to act according to nature, because then you'll be convinced that there's nothing here. You know, like Yayati. You know, he took the youth of Puru, and then according to the religious principles, he enjoyed his senses to the greatest degree possible, you know, as the emperor. And after 1,000 years, then he figured out this doesn't work. right? So that's why we have to take example, because we don't have 1,000 years, you know, like that. But he had youth for 1,000 years, and then his conclusion was, there's nothing here. So, you know, we get, let's see, 16 to 30, you know, so that's 14 years. So it doesn't quite, so therefore only by devotional service can, you know, we have the improved intelligence to figure it out more quickly. Is that word better? Does that get closer? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Sorry about these side examples, but it's just we try to make it so it looks like it's actually real, you know, where it would apply. Because otherwise we would stay away from those kind of examples. Difficulty is time's up. So you'd have to ask tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurapati.